Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
It turns out this is the second time I've received such a letter, so I filled it out back then, and I wasn't asked to be on a jury at that time. So hopefully I won't be asked this time either.
Right, so you just got to fill in like a lot of like polarizing stuff, you know?
No, there's no questions like that. It's basically your name, your address, your age.
But they know your name and address. They sent you the letter.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
Okay, Skip, so today's topic is favorite movie soundtracks. But before we get to that, as you know, I've had a lot of extra free time the last year and a half. And what I've done is I've gone back and watched some old shows, which are new to me, but old to everyone else. You know, I was late getting on board the whole streaming service, as you know. And when you watch a show, like if you watch a show this year, a new show, sometimes there'll be like characters on the show like that are only on one or two episodes. And you'll say to yourself, oh, I recognize that actor or actress from something else that I saw last year or 5 years ago or whatever, right?
Of course, that happens all the time. Like my wife hates it because every show we watch, I'm like, oh, that's the dude from this show or that's the girl from this show.
So the opposite thing is happening to me because now I'm watching shows that are like 5 years old and I see actors that I recognize and the shows that I recognize them from are actually newer than the show that I'm watching. So it's like backwards.
Right. Right. So what are you watching?
So I started watching this show. I'm sure you've seen it. It's called Vinyl. It's an HBO show.
It's terrible.
I love it.
It was so bad that they never made a second season.
Well, that may be, but I love it because it's exactly like Entourage, except instead of the movie industry, it's the music business. And instead of like the 2000s, it's the 70s.
It is sort of, but it's like Entourage doesn't take itself nearly as seriously as this show tries.
Okay, that's true. You know? But I still like the show. I'm very upset that there's only one season, like because if there was a second season, I'd watch it for sure.
So what are the actors and actresses that you're saying you're noticing from newer shows?
So the actress's name is Juno Temple. She's in Vinyl. She's one of the people that works at the record company. And she's also in the show Dirty John. She's the daughter of the mom that dates John.
Right. And you asked me about Ted Lasso. She's in that.
Right. I haven't seen Ted Lasso yet.
Mm-hmm. She's a really important part of Ted Lasso, actually.
But also in Vinyl, there's a lot of, you know, people, famous people.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, of course.
Olivia Wilde is in it. Ray Romano's in it.
Yeah, he's good in the show, actually.
Yeah, he is really good.
I mean, all in all, I mean, I watched it and I was excited to watch it because they hyped it up like crazy, that show. But I mean, I guess it just, I mean, you know, a show's not that good if they never made a second season, no?
Well, I mean, you know, it might not have got good ratings, but you know, sometimes there are shows that don't get good ratings, but are actually good shows and people just for some reason, they cancel it, whatever.
Right.
The other good thing about the show is there's always good music in every episode.
Oh, well, that one's great. Yeah. That show is all the good music, which segues perfectly into our soundtracks episode that we're about to do. Although we're not doing TV soundtracks, we're doing movies, but.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before we get to our topic of the day, do you have any listener mail from our last episode?
Mailbag.
I do. I have listener mail, and I actually have a news story that pertains to the last episode.
Okay.
So the album Nevermind by Nirvana was in your top seven album covers last time.
Correct.
And you told a story about how 30 years after the anniversary of the album, the guy, Spencer Eldon, who was the baby on the cover, recreated the photo.
Correct.
Well, there was a news article that came out just this week. The man who appeared as a baby on the cover of Nirvana's Nevermind is suing the band for alleged child pornography.
Are you kidding me?
Spencer Eldon, now 30, has filed a lawsuit against the two surviving members of the band, as well as Kurt Cobain's estate, claiming that neither he or his guardians consented to his image being used on the album and that the cover violates federal child pornography laws.
Well, I'm sure his guardians did consent, because if the guardians didn't consent, they wouldn't have brought him to the photo shoot.
I mean, they, like you said, they stuck him in the pool. But did Nirvana kidnap the kid and throw him in the pool?
That's ridiculous. Is this guy like broke and he just needs money? Is that the deal?
I don't know. Probably. But I just thought it was crazy because we just talked about this and then all of a sudden, bang, on Twitter, I'm like, whoa, Nirvana. Like, how did this come out? It was like, so timely. Unbelievable.
Probably because that guy listens to our show and he remembered that he was in the photo shoot and decided, oh, I should sue them.
Right. Our show is what reminded him that he was on the cover of the album.
What else would have?
It's the only thing in his life that he's done, you know, like it's his claim to fame. So listener mail. Yeah, we got a few. Your old buddy Pierre from Montreal emailed us again. He said that his brother had Elton John's album Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, and he was fascinated by the cover.
Okay, I'll have to Google it because I don't know what the cover looks like.
Friend of mine, David from New Jersey, emailed me saying that he loved the episode. It was really fun, but his record collection is thousands of records. He has actual vinyl, a huge vinyl collection. So for him, it's impossible to pick his best cover. And then we got a bunch of messages on Facebook. Joel from New Jersey told us, REO Speedwagon, you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
Actually, I remember that album.
I had to look up the album cover. Everybody on Facebook actually posted pictures of their albums, which was really cool. So thank you all for that. Jason from Côte Saint-Luc, Joe Jackson's Beat Crazy. Jeff from here in Dollar Days Are Mo, Talking Heads, Little Creatures. And also he agreed with my Born in the USA pick. Friend of the show, Brian, out in Seattle, said Rush Moving Pictures. I think he's a huge Rush guy. And, of course, friend of the show, Mark, out in Philadelphia, said Styx Paradise Theater. And then he went on to say that he had the actual LP, the vinyl LP at that age, when we were 11, 12 years old. And he said there was a holographic laser etching directly on the vinyl LP that he remembers.
Very interesting.
And, of course, it had all the words, the lyrics to the songs and everything. But a lot of albums had those. Or maybe Styx was the forerunner for that. I don't know. I mean, that's listener mail.
Okay, great. So we should probably get into today's list then.
So, you know, movie soundtracks. You know, I'm a huge fan of music and movies. Whenever we talked about like our favorite movies of the year, often for me, it's movies that have great soundtracks or that music is really a part of the story and a big part of what makes the movie great. So this was a tough week for me, Josh, to do my research. I texted you. How hard was it for you to do? Like, tell me. I have a whole story about mine, but how hard was it for you?
So it was very hard for me, even though I'm the one who came up with the topic, but not for the same reason as you.
Yeah.
I had a hard time finding 7 good movie soundtracks because there's a lot of movies that have one great song. But I mean, if you only have one great song, I don't want to put you on the list.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess I made a little rule for myself. You had to have at least 2 good songs for me to put you on the list. Now, like the top 4 or 5 were fine, were easy to do. But 6 and 7, I'm still not even sure that I like my 6 and 7 now.
I'm glad you said that rule about one great song because I definitely found that same sort of phenomenon. There's a bunch of soundtracks, especially movies from the 80s. They tend to have like this one big song and then sort of that was it. Breakfast Club, if you know, for example. Mm-hmm. But I also sort of excluded like these biopic movies, like that came out recently, like the Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. Obviously,
right? I don't have any of those.
I'm not counting that. That's like a cheat code. You can't use those. Or concert movies, obviously, like that doesn't count either. You know, because that's, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. Musicals. I didn't really include any actual musicals on my list, but clearly, the movie Grease is probably one of the greatest soundtracks ever, and people may get mad that it's not in my top 7, but I am mentioning it here now as an honorable mention. Now, I texted you during the week, and I told you I had 35 honorable mentions.
Right.
Not 35 honorable mentions. I had 35 movie soundtracks on my list.
Okay.
So there's a couple of little categories that came out of my honorable mentions. Soundtracks that had one great song. I sold you The Breakfast Club. There's also like Back to the Future. You know, that's great, right? I mean, The Power of Love, that's awesome. Dirty Dancing. And then there's movies that like sort of defined an era. So like the 70s, as I mentioned, Grease, but there's obviously Saturday Night Fever too. The 80s, Footloose, Flashdance. The 90s, Clueless, and Trainspotting. Like, I find those didn't make my list, but they're definitely worthy. They're all worthy because they sort of define the era, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to probably not have too many similarities. I think maybe 1 or 2, you know? And I think most of the years are probably going to be in my honorable mentions. Like, if I can guess on your list already, you know, Reality Bites, you know, Beautiful Girls, stuff like that. Empire Records, I think I have a feeling those could crack your list, and they were on my honorable mentions. So, like I said, my honorable mentions was huge. I had a real tough time narrowing it down to seven. I got it down to a top four or five pretty quick, and then my six and seven sort of filled in after doing a little bit of research. So I'm kind of excited to hear about your movie soundtracks. So your topic, so you're going to go first.
Number seven.
Right. And even up until this very second, I'm debating what my number seven is going to be.
Snap decision.
I'm going to make a snap decision right now. And so number seven for me is Pretty in Pink.
Ah.
That's from 1986. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of good artists on this album. OMD, Suzanne Vega, Joe Jackson, NXS, The Psychedelic Furs, New Order, Echo and the Bunnymen, and The Smiths. I mean, I'm not going to name them all, but I really like the song If You Leave by OMD. So that's the reason this album made it onto my list.
It's a strong soundtrack. I think it's the John Hughes movies were interesting, right? Because they tried to represent kids in the 80s, and then they put out soundtracks with songs that most kids in the 80s never heard of, right? Mm-hmm. And then obviously, like you said, usually one big hit, like OMD was the big hit off of that one. And, you know, obviously Breakfast Club had Simple Minds and so on. So that's a good pick. I mean, it was in my honorable mentions, so I have nothing bad to say about that. So my number seven movie soundtrack is from the movie Almost Famous, which came out in the year 2000, starring Kate Hudson, Patrick Fugit. It's directed and written by Cameron Crowe. We've talked about Almost Famous before because we listened to that Origins podcast. And, you know, it's basically Cameron Crowe's life as a reporter following rock bands. And the soundtrack is like a who's who of music of sort of the 70s, you know, it's all kinds of different bands, you know, Simon and Garfunkel, The Who, Todd Rundgren, Beach Boys, like every song, Elton John, Tiny Dancer, which is a very key song in the movie. So like, I just fell in love with the movie. I fell in love with the soundtrack and the first song, which is Simon and Garfunkel, America, that's the song that I really fell in love with, that I was sort of loosely familiar with before I saw the movie. But then after I listened to the soundtrack, I was like, oh my God, what a song. So just for that, it's number seven. Kathy, I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for.
Very good movie. It didn't make my list for soundtracks, though.
Number six.
So next for me, and here's one where I wasn't sure if I was going to put it on the list because there's a bunch of songs, but there's only two that I really like, but I really, really, really like these two songs. So I had to put it on. It's from 1984. It's Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love The Heat Is On by Glenn Frey, and I also love Axel F by Harold Faltermeyer. I love those two songs.
Axel F was a huge hit. It got into like the Casey Kasem top 40 at the time. And you know, actually, the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack 2 is also a really good soundtrack. It has Bob Seger, that song Shakedown. That's a good pick, Josh. I don't even think I wrote it down in my list, but I know I talked about it with my wife, and we were discussing the soundtracks, and she was giving me ideas.
I mean, I was very hesitant to put it on because the other songs, I'm not really a fan of most of the other songs, but those two were really good, so I had to put it on.
All good. So, I started dating my current wife, my only wife, in 1991. And at that time, we found ourselves downtown on a weeknight or a weekend. I don't remember when it was. It was a night. We were downtown. I probably picked her from school or something. And we said, hey, why don't we go see a movie? And we didn't have any idea what movie we want to see. We walked up to the movie theater and all of a sudden we saw this movie poster for this movie that we hadn't even heard of. But the movie poster looked really cool. We didn't even know what it was about. Let's said, let's take a chance. And that movie was called The Commitments. Have you ever seen this movie?
I think I saw it once. It was hard to follow because of the Irish accents.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's about a group of young people in their 20s in Ireland struggling, you know, to make a living. And they try to put together this, like, soul R&B band and sort of almost get famous. But, you know, because of circumstances and you have to watch the movie, it doesn't work out. But the music in the movie is absolutely phenomenal. The whole soundtrack is by every artist on the soundtrack is the band The Commitments, which are, I don't know for a fact that it's the actual actors playing. I doubt it is. But I'm sure it's the one main singer is like a legit singer. His name escapes me. I think his name is Deco. Well, that's what his name is in the movie. And it's a movie like it's like a who's who of sort of 60s Motown style R&B, you know, and blues. So it's so highly recommended. The soundtrack's fantastic. And actually the movie's fantastic once you can get a hang of their accents.
Number 5.
So another rule I made for myself was that if I owned a movie soundtrack, I should put it on my list. I only own, I think, 4 movie soundtracks. No, so all 4 of them are on my list.
I own so many that it's right. Like, yeah.
I only own 4, so they're all on my list.
Okay.
So here's one of them. And you mentioned it already. Grease. I know you said it's a musical and you discounted it, but it's a great soundtrack. I remember I had the cassette tape when I was, 8, 9 years old?
Yeah.
And I kept listening to that cassette over and over and over again. I think it ripped because I listened to it so much.
I had the album, like the vinyl, and mm-hmm. It was 4 albums, right?
Right, yes.
Or maybe it was 2 and 2 sides. And it was just a big package of albums. It was like there were so many songs and... Oh, yeah. Good times. I mean, yes, it's probably most people would consider it. Maybe if you look up other people's lists online, it's on everybody's list. You know, it's right for sure. And I can't argue with that pick. So.
Right. I'm not going to list all the songs on there. Everyone knows all the songs on that yeah. soundtrack, but it's good from start to finish.
Yeah. And it stands a test of time. You know, you go to any karaoke bar, which you do sometimes or you used to.
That's right. I used to.
No matter what happens, there's going to be a group of drunk coworkers singing Summer Lovin' or...
You know, it's funny. You know. Every time I've ever gone to a karaoke bar, I've never done a song from Grease, but now next time I go, I'll do it. Summer Lovin' had me a blast. Summer Lovin' happened so fast. I met a girl crazy for me. Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to the summer.
Well, Summer Lovin' is the one where, like, if you have a group of guys and girls, right, the guys sing the guys' part and the girls sing the girls' part. So number 5 for me is, I mean, you mentioned Pretty in Pink. Obviously, the 80s were the era of the John Hughes movies, right? And The Breakfast Club is by far the most famous. And you pick Pretty in Pink as the soundtrack. That's also a worthy one. But my favorite movie of all the John Hughes movies and my favorite soundtrack of all the John Hughes soundtracks is Some Kind of Wonderful. And it's probably the least known of all the movies. It's the least popular. So it's...
Remember what's on that soundtrack.
Well, it's sort of random music. Like I said, it's music that I would have never known had I not listened to the soundtrack. It's not popular stuff. It's much more on the fringe than anything else, right? So it has like the bands like Flesh for Lulu, Jesus and the Mary Chain, the March Violets, this type of music, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the highlight is the song, like the song that I love is by this artist, Stephen Duffy, who this is the only song I know by him, which is called She Loves Me. It's just absolutely fantastic. It's just it's such a great soundtrack, such a great movie that's like kind of never talked about because of the fame of Pretty in Pink and The Breakfast Club.
Number four.
Okay, so the next one on my list, you're not going to be surprised. In fact, if it's not on my list, you would be very surprised. And it's Singles, which was released in 1992. So, I mean, this movie follows the Seattle grunge scene of the early 1990s. There's two songs by Paul Westerberg, two songs by Pearl Jam, a Smashing Pumpkins song, Screaming Trees, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Chris Cornell. So I actually don't own this CD. I was surprised when I looked through my collection that I don't own it because I should own this CD. State of love and justice.
You should. That's shocking that you don't.
It is shocking that I don't.
I'll say more about Singles in a few minutes. It's going to make an appearance on my list. So I have a couple good stories about that soundtrack. So,
okay.
So number four for me, you know, a few years ago, I told you about one of my favorite movies, which was called Sing Street. And it's by this director by the name of John Carney. And he has a couple of other movies, another one called Once and another one called Begin Again. And the focus of all the three movies is music. Music is the main thing about these movies. So my number four is a soundtrack to the movie Begin Again, which I don't think you've ever seen. Maybe you have. I don't know. It's with Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
And the soundtrack is mostly Keira Knightley singing, believe it or not. And she sings about as good as you think she would, right? Like, she sings in her character because she's not supposed to be a performer. She's supposed to be, like, more of a songwriter. The other guy in this movie is Adam Levine, you know, from Maroon 5. He's actually in the movie mm-hmm. playing, like, an aspiring rock star, pop star. And anyways, I highly recommend the movie. And the soundtrack is fantastic. All the songs that Keira Knightley sings in the movie are on the soundtrack. And then the main one is the song Lost Stars by Adam Levine. But are we all lost stars, trying to light up the dark? Not that I saw you out there crying. The movie's interesting because he takes this amazing song in the movie and he turns it into this pop piece of garbage and she hates it, right? And she tells him that it sucks. And then she tells him, why don't you sing it this way? And then the big part of the movie is he sings it in concert her way, right? And it's fantastic. And that gets me thinking, like, why doesn't he sing songs like that? He's amazing, but he sings all this Maroon 5 crap, right? Like, it's literally like a story of him, but he doesn't seem to care, you know? So anyways, that's number four.
Number three.
Okay, so the rest of mine are all CDs that I own.
Good. Very good. Really,
and they're all
nice
from the 90s as well.
No surprise there, Josh. Most of your stuff's always from the 90s.
Right. So next on my list is Clueless, which has artists like The Muffs, Cracker, Counting Crows, World Party, Radiohead, Lightning Seeds, Jill Sobule. And this was released, obviously, in 1995.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning about an album that stands the test of time. I could still listen to this today and enjoy it today.
I think it's the one soundtrack that really epitomizes the 90s. I mean, I know you said Singles, and that sort of epitomizes the grunge part of the 90s.
Correct.
But Clueless really is, it's the soundtrack of the 90s, you know, honestly. Good pick. I mean, like I said, I had 30 honorable mentions when it was there, you know, so. So number three for me, you know, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's like a guilty pleasure. People might make fun of me or make fun of the movie, but that is the movie Top Gun from 1986 starring Tom Cruise. You remember I had the Top Gun poster in my room, the movie poster?
I think I do, yes.
Yeah, front and center with all my other Bruce Springsteens and Beatles. Right in the middle was Top Gun, Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis. So, I mean, the soundtrack, it just brings me back to the time when I just got my driver's license and we used to drive in the car, used to make these mixtapes for driving music. And what do you think the number one song is for driving music? It's Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone. There's no better driving song than that, right?
That's true.
And I mean, the song, the soundtrack had some like very big hits, like the Take My Breath Away, which is like the main, like sort of, they call it the love theme from the movie. And then the main thing that put this soundtrack in my list at number three was the Top Gun anthem. It's the music, it's the score. You know, normally like the score doesn't end up on the soundtracks, but it's so like epic that it's the last song on the soundtrack. And it's like, as soon as you hear that, you're like, that's Top Gun. That, you know, right away it's Top Gun.
Number two.
Okay, so next for me is Reality Bites. You mentioned it earlier. This was released in 1994, and it's got the following bands on it: The Knack, Juliana Hatfield, World Party again, I keep mentioning them, Lisa Loeb, U2, Crowded House, I keep mentioning them, and Squeeze. Actually, Tempted was not a new song at the time, but that might have been my favorite song on this CD.
On the soundtrack, it's called Tempted 1994, like, because they sort of...
Right, they re-released it, or they maybe re-recorded it or something.
Yeah, it's very slightly different than the original, if anything.
Right, there's not much difference, but I really do like that song. And Squeeze doesn't really follow along with the other artists that are on this CD, because Squeeze was sort of an older artist at the time, compared to, like, you know, Lisa Loeb and World Party and Juliana Hatfield.
Course. But you know, when I was making my list, I had my top six filled in and I had to just pop in the number seven. And if my list went down to eight, Reality Bites was eight. Like, it was right there. It was right there with Almost Famous. Like, I just had to choose one.
And by the way, let me just say, with Reality Bites and most of these albums, you know, there's like six, seven good songs on these, but there's also like four or five songs on these albums that I don't like at all.
No, well, Reality Bites has that reggae, Baby I Love Your Way, like...
Yeah, right. And then there's some other strange songs on that album.
Yeah. But, I mean, well, first of all, it's a great movie. I saw it recently. It still sort of holds up, only because, like, the cast is really good, you know? And, like I said, the music is, like, another one of those soundtrack of the 90s, right?
I think Ethan Hawke sings a song on the soundtrack.
I think he does, yeah.
It's not a good song, though.
No, it's not.
He's a good actor, but not such a great singer.
So number two for me, you already mentioned it, Josh, that's Singles. 1992 Seattle grunge movie about the 20-somethings, Bridget Fonda, Campbell Scott, Kira Sedgwick, Matt Dillon, all trying to like figure out their lives and their love lives. And then behind all those stories of their lives is the soundtrack of Seattle, which is the grunge music, right? And I mean, obviously, it's a great soundtrack. You listed all the artists. I'm telling you a story about this. So Paul Westerberg has two songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dyslexic Heart and Waiting for Somebody. Those are the two songs.
Right.
Now, these two songs really sound alike, right?
Which is really not a surprise.
So when you actually watch the movie, like for the first time, I go to the movie theater, I'm watching the movie, you think it's the same song. Like, you think it's just one big song. And then I got the soundtrack and I realized this is two completely different songs. And then like a couple weeks after I saw the movie, I don't know where I was, maybe at school, and ran into a friend and we were talking about this movie. And then he's like, I told him, the soundtrack's great. I said, I have the CD. I have the soundtrack. I could lend it to you. And then he goes, oh, that song by Paul Westerberg is so good. I go, it's two different songs. And and he didn't believe me. He really didn't believe me. And then I brought him the CD the next day, or I brought it to his house. And then he was so thrilled. It was like such a revelation that it was two different songs. They really sound alike. Anyways, those are my two favorite songs on the albums. Anyways, those two.
Number one.
My number one, before I tell you which one it is. So with all the others, I saw the movie first and then I bought the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
With this one, this is a movie from 1995.
Oh, I know what it is.
I bought the soundtrack in 1995. I just saw the movie a year and a half ago for the first time.
If it's the movie I'm thinking, it's not a great movie.
The movie isn't great, but the soundtrack is, which is why it's number one on my list.
Yeah.
And it's Empire Records.
That's exactly the one I thought, yeah.
So, I mean, listen, it's got the Gin Blossoms, the Cranberries, Toad the Wet Sprocket, Better Than Ezra, Cracker, and Evan Dando, who's the lead singer of the Lemonheads.
Yeah.
So, this was pretty easy for me to decide that this would be number one. I mean, especially, keep in mind, I bought the soundtrack without having seen the movie.
I think I did the same thing. Because I have the soundtrack, and I actually barely remember the movie. I know it's with Liv Tyler.
Yes.
And also, what's her name?
Renee Zellweger.
Exactly, yeah. Renee Zellweger. She's in that movie, but she's quite young. Anyways, it's not a great movie, but I'm a huge fan of the Gin Blossoms. We went to a concert, actually, at the Spectrum.
Yes.
And as much as they have two really amazing albums. But Till I Hear It From You, which is on this soundtrack that you're talking about, that is their best song. That is the song that really cemented my love for the Gin Blossoms. Right? I really love that song. Baby, I don't want to take advice from fools. I just figure everything is cool until I hear it from you.
So that's my number one.
There you go. You're never going to guess my number one. You're never going
to
guess.
I'm not even going to try because you had 35 to choose from, so I have no clue.
It's a movie from 1983, so we were quite young. It's a movie that was nominated for Best Picture. It's one where I bought the soundtrack way before I ever watched the movie. I had no interest in watching the movie, to be honest. And that is the movie The Big Chill. So,
oh, of course.
Right. So I didn't buy it in 83. I bought it probably like in 85, 86, 87. When I started to sort of explore my musical interests and like discover a little bit of the music of Motown, the music of the 60s, right? Like, and then a friend of mine at school was like, you got to listen to the Big Chill soundtrack. I'm like, oh, okay. Let me tell you, when I told you that we used to drive around in my car with my mixtapes of our driving music, The Big Chill was a big part of that, right? So, like, Good Lovin' by the Rascals, Joy to the World, Ain't Too Proud to Beg, you know, The Temptations. Like, there's just so many great songs. And then, of course, like, the real great song, and this is how I discovered the song, which is A Whiter Shade of Pale by Procol Harum. We skip the light fandango. Turn cartwheels across the floor. Harder.
I hate that song, by the way. But there's a very good reason why I hate that song.
First of all, it's one of the greatest songs ever. And actually, you know, it's in the movie The Commitments. It's not on the soundtrack, but in the movie The Commitments, they play it and sing it in church. And it's a really kind of poignant scene of the movie. Anyways, A Whiter Shade of Pale is such a great song. And that I discovered it via this soundtrack. So anyway, so that, The Big Chill, is my number one. And it brought back a lot of memories looking back at all these soundtracks, Josh. I really liked it.
Great.
There's so many soundtracks that I left off that I really like wanted to talk about today, but maybe another time. I don't know.
It's funny. I had the opposite situation as you. I had trouble finding seven good ones.
Right. It's funny because there's no recent movies on your list or on mine.
No.
Right. The only one that got close, that got close for me as a recent movie, and you probably never even saw it, was A Star Is Born, the new one with Lady Gaga.
I haven't seen that movie. I know which movie you're talking about, but yeah. I haven't seen it.
The soundtrack's fantastic. So, I mean, the movie's great too, but...
Anyways, I can't even remember the last good movie I saw.
Movies are like a thing of the past now, no?
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
It's like the best shows, the best entertainment are TV now.
Yeah, well, because you don't have to leave your couch.
Because they're so... I read an article about it. Like, the movie studios are so focused on making money, and movies are really expensive to do. So that's why so many of the movies that come out in the theater are these big blockbusters, but they tend to be not such great movies. They're just made for making money. They're the summer movies, you know, they're all the superhero movies, the Marvel stuff and all this.
Yeah. And I never go to those.
And the best content creators, like the best writers and directors, are now being given sort of carte blanche to make shows, right? Do what you want, you know, like that's why you tend to see these shows like all the great shows like Breaking Bad and The Sopranos. Like I'm really giving you like the best ones, but like there's tons of great shows on streaming, you know.
The Skip and Josh podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. To interact with the show, send an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter and go to Facebook to like the show page. And now for some final thoughts from the guys.
I have one great little story for you to end the show. I don't know if you want to hear it or if you have anything for you. Do you have anything of your own?
I do want to hear your story. And then I have a treat for you and the listeners.
Okay, great. So we're just fresh off the Olympics. Actually, we're in the middle of the Paralympics right now. Did you hear the story of this Maria Andrzejczyk? She's a silver medal winner from Poland in the javelin.
I did hear this story. It's a great story.
She wanted to auction her medal on an auction website to raise money for a child who was suffering with heart disease to pay for the treatment and the travel to the United States. So she did this. She did the auction, and the auction ended, and someone bid a little bit higher than what she had asked for, like a pretty big sum of money.
Yeah.
And then what she found out that it was a Polish convenience store chain, like called Zabka, which I guess is like the Polish 7-Eleven.
Right.
They bought the medal. They won the auction and they bought the medal. They gave the money to the child so they can get the treatment, and they let Maria keep her silver medal. So it's really quite a great heartwarming story. I figured you'd have heard about that because you're up on all the Olympic scuttlebutt.
I think I heard about it on Instagram, which is rare because I'm hardly ever on Instagram.
So. I was like, I was about to say, are you even on Instagram? Like what?
I have an account. I've never posted anything.
Okay. So what do you got to treat? You said you have a treat for me.
Yeah. There's something that's been bugging me for a long time that I need to get off my chest.
I love it. Can't wait.
Things that bug me?
You're going to laugh and the listeners are going to laugh too. But think of any condiment that you purchase at the grocery store. Usually comes in a bottle, right? Sometimes in a jar.
Like used to come in glass bottles. Now they're in squeeze bottles, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Also think of anything that comes in a bottle, like shampoo or laundry detergent, whatever. Anything that comes in a bottle.
Okay.
So some bottles, not all bottles are created equally, by the way. And some bottles, when you pour whatever is inside the bottle, oftentimes you're going to spill or you're going to drip or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one item that I have in my household that I use all the time, and you probably have it in your household also, and I'm assuming you use it quite often, that no matter what I do, every time I use it, I always drip and I always make a mess because the bottle is not created well at all. And I've tried many different brands of this item because I don't care what brand I use.
Yeah.
And regardless, there is no one that has been able to create a bottle that doesn't drip.
The only item I could think of that falls into this category that I can think of is not something that I use in the house. It's used outside the house. And that's windshield washer fluid.
Okay, that's a good one, but it's not that.
I actually bought a funnel once.
Oh, like, I have a funnel. For windshield washer fluid, you need a funnel. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, so what is it?
It is olive oil. Every time I use olive oil, it makes the biggest mess. It drips all over the bottle. And then when you put it away in your cupboard, you've got a big puddle of olive oil in your cupboard.
So I think your problem is that you're buying the wrong olive oil.
Well, I've tried many different kinds of olive oil. They all drip.
A lot of times now, I buy one from Provigo here, and I think it's probably President's Choice brand.
I've tried that one. I've tried the President's Choice brand.
It has a special little spout when you lift up the cover.
It does. You're right. It does. But yet, no matter what I do, it always drips.
Poor you.
And it's not just me. Like, there's no way you can pour anything out of that bottle and have it not drip. It's not possible. And you'd think we're in 2021 now, someone would have invented a bottle that doesn't drip.
Yeah, it's true. Anytime you pick up your bottle of olive oil, it's always going to be greasy because it's dripped around the sides.
And the other thing I don't get is the cap, which the cap is on top of the nozzle. The cap is full of olive oil too. How does that get full of olive oil? I don't even touch the cap.
We're going to have to get to the bottom of this. We're going to have to write to companies, get a letter writing campaign going, you know, fix this problem for you.
I've given up all hope.
All right. So are you going to ask me what we're doing next time?
What are we doing next time? By the way, we're not recording in 2 weeks from now.
We are. 2 weeks.
No, because we have a special session next week and then I need a week off.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to record a special crossover episode with our good pal, Jesse Jackson from the Set Lusting Bruce podcast. We're going to record that next Saturday, but we're only going to release it whenever Jesse's ready to release that. And sometimes he has a backlog of episodes to release.
So, yeah. So what's our next topic? We're running out of topics. You know what? Before you even tell me your next topic, let's let the listeners do some of our work. They have to send in some topics for us because I'm out of topics.
Are you really?
I'm out.
So, you know, Seinfeld comes up a lot on the show. We always talk about Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
So without being too sexist, and we'll try to do this in a really good way, is your top Seinfeld girlfriends?
I don't even know if I can remember 7 of them.
There's how many episodes is there of Seinfeld? 200?
I know, but he doesn't have a girlfriend in every episode.
Pretty much.
This is going to require, I have to go back and watch all of them now.
Well, I mean, there's many, many lists out there on the internet which can tell you, you know, the ranking of Jerry's girlfriends. So, that's the topic for next time.
Okay, great.
All right, so I'll talk to you before that, but we won't record until our schedules open up.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Have a good week.